Father, as we come to look at this text in Thessalonians, Father, I pray that you would go ahead of me, Father, that you would work on hearts and that you would convict and that your word would be received, that hearts and minds would be inclined towards hearing wisdom today and that it would be applied afterwards, Father, in our lives and in this very week, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, so for those of you who maybe missed the announcements at the beginning, I am coming up here and preaching in place of Pastor Mike. He is sick today, and so I've taken something from, you might recognize bits and pieces of it actually, from a prayer meeting that I did, some notes, and put them together in the last hour or so, and it's from Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'm going to really just look at verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Where Paul says, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you." Now we see all throughout Scripture that Paul is praying in Ephesians. We see him in chapter 3 and chapter 1. We see him all throughout Romans. He's praying for the church. In fact, I think in every single epistle that Paul writes, he ends up praying for the church, or at least speaking of the prayers that he has prayed for the church. And so there is something that is immediately different here and recognizable in chapter 3 in verse 1. If you look there, you'll see what it is. He's always praying for the church, and then here, now he's actually asking for prayer for himself and for his companions. Paul instructs the church in Thessalonica to pray for us, he says. This us here, it's referring to himself, it's referring to Silvanus and to Timothy, each of whom were actively engaged in the ministry of the gospel. And so they're going around, they're putting elders in churches, they're planting churches, they're spreading the gospel, they're sharing the gospel and preaching, and it's these three that he asks for prayer. Their ministry, it's both for shepherding and helping along the burgeoning early church, and it's also for spreading the word. And so we could really say this is who we're talking about, and I fully believe this, are elders, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, right? This is all of the offices that these apostles are performing, that Paul is performing. And now we also have elders and pastors and teachers and evangelists who are in our congregation, and those who we support overseas as well. So this request of prayer from Paul for himself and for his companions, it is, I think we can take it and apply it to ourselves and say this is also a request to pray for our pastors and our elders today. Now the Lord knows that the congregation of Christ Community Church has not been unfaithful to pray for its pastors and for its elders and for its missionaries. That's something that was immediately evident to me from the first time that I came here, that Christ Community, there was always a prayer meeting here, there was always a group that was praying, and then over time that's grown, and there is always constantly and consistently prayer for each one of our elders, prayer for the ministry of the church, prayer for our missionaries, constantly. I always find it, whether it's here at the church building or whether it's in the homes of people in this church, I always find that you are praying for your leaders, you are praying for your missionaries. The command to pray, I believe, is always on your hearts. And so I don't need to exhort you in that area today, and I don't want to. But where I believe that we can be greatly benefited this morning is answering, at least in part, a question, which is, how should we best pray for our elders? What is the best way that we can? And I'm not going to answer the full question. I think there's many different answers that would fit that question. But today I'm going to look at one thing. And so this is where Paul wrote, "Pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you." This is not a normal prayer request that we see here, at least not by our standards today, but I think even by the standards of all prayer. It's not normal because it doesn't start with me. It doesn't start with my needs. Generally, when we're asking for prayer requests, oftentimes it has to do with health. It has to do with the troubles that we're going through, whether it's in life, in finances, or even our own deficiencies. Right, we can say, pray for me, I need help in this area, I'm really struggling here. And I'm not saying at all that we can't ask for prayer for these things, but it's not what we see here in Thessalonians. And so it should cause us to pause and consider for a moment when none of these things are mentioned, that his prayer request is very different from, I think, what I would have thought myself. If I was asked this question as a pastor, well, how should we pray for you? I think I immediately would have gone to the category of, and I think I have done this, gone to deficiencies. Oh, pray for me. I'm just a weak man. I'm just this, this, and this. And it all starts with, and I'm not saying you can't pray for those things, but if I'm giving prayer requests, oftentimes it just starts with I, me, this, I need help here. You know, it's all about me. But Paul here, rather, he doesn't say pray for our health, for our troubles, for our deficiencies, but he says pray for us. And this is interesting. It is for them. Pray for us, but that the word may speed ahead and be honored. Brothers and sisters, we need help, and I'm speaking of your elders. We need help, and the Lord knows it, and I know that every one of the elders would say amen to that. We need prayer for our families, for our discipline in the word, for our understanding of the word, for our boldness to preach the word of God. We need help in every way that anyone else would, and then more with the responsibility that comes with the role. But these concerns are only secondary to what I believe is the first and the great concern of ministry. If the word of God is not going ahead of us and being fruitful, then the work is over before it even begins. We might as well give up now if we don't have the word going ahead of us. Because as I would say, my natural prayer request would be all about me. I'm deficient. I am failing in so many ways. And the truth is, if it ended there, then it would end there. Because we are all just men working in our own strength, which is really weak. But without the word of God, we're going nowhere. So what does it mean that the word would speed ahead? He makes this request that the word would speed ahead and be honored. The translation from the ESV comes from the Greek word trekko, which you can even hear in there, trek. You probably recognize in English cognate. Trekko means to run, to rush, to strive, or to make advancement, to make progress towards something. The verb almost has a military quality to it, and I do believe it was used in association with military marching. It has this military quality that whatever is speeding ahead, it's also conquering. It's also making advancement over. It's making progress over. If we think in terms of the military, this idea of advancing, conquering, and moving forward, foremost, at least in the day of the military, of these things would be the chariot. The chariot is the one that would go forward. It would scatter the enemy. It would make advancement. It was the might of the military army at the time. And we hear about it all throughout Scripture. It's the chariot, this amazing piece of technology that would end up being a massive advantage to any army that had it. Again, it was the might of the military army, and it was almost synonymous with might. If you look throughout Scripture, it's used that way many times as, you know, they have chariots, they have military might. And then the Israelites were constantly trying to go to the people who had the chariots. But as we will see, and I'll talk about in a moment, that it was inappropriate. They should have been going to the Lord. So what is the might of the Christian army? Well, I think it is very easy to say that it is, there are more than one answer to that question, but it is the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." So again, we saw throughout the Old Testament, and you could read of this, I can testify to it, I won't go to any of the chapter and verses, but the chariot was this highly prized instrument of war. But constantly the Israelites were reminded over and over and over that it was a false hope. Don't go there. Don't go to the chariots. Don't go to the other surrounding nations for help. Go to the Lord. It ended up being that whenever they would go and they would have the most military might, oftentimes they would see their greatest failures. And I think there are plenty of modern day chariots if we look at the church today. There are temptations for the elders, for the church, to turn towards things that appear to be chariots. They appear to have a lot of power to bring people into a building. We can put a coffee shop in the lobby. We can go about some strategies and some philosophies that maybe would get more people in here in this building, and that might be seen as a positive thing, but this is going about it in a worldly sense. We're going to chariots, to methods, to ways apart from God to get people in here. And I think we know, I mean, when we really look at it, we know how ridiculous it is, but it's so easy to go that way, because if we can fill the building, then we feel maybe we're doing something right. But of course, it's not about filling the building. Right, it's about the people that are in the building, the people who are outside of the building, in the homes. It's about their hearts. It's about discipling and training them. And so we have these chariots we can go to. And we should never turn to these pragmatics. These are all, just as the chariot was the false hope of Israel and constantly led to their ruin, these things are also false hopes. These pragmatic pushes, they're false hopes that will lead to the ruin of the church. I think we know that if we wanted to fill the building, we could just put on a Super Bowl and we would get people not only to be there, but they would pay money to be there. This isn't a statement about the Super Bowl, but it's a statement of if we want to get people somewhere, there's actually better ways to do it than any of the pragmatic ways that the churches have done, because none of them have ever put, well, there are exceptions. I mean, if we look at Joel Osteen, right, he'll take and he'll preach a prosperity gospel. If I can maybe promise riches to you, I'll get more people in the building. And if that was the end goal, well, we would just preach that. If you come in here and you give us your money, then you're going to have a lot more coming back to you. And we would lie to you. But that's not the end goal, of course. And all of those things, they're a false hope. The chariot that we need, actually, leading the charge of our ministry, the chariot we want on the front line is the Word of God. We want it speeding ahead of us. We want it conquering, so that when we, the foot soldiers, when we catch up, our work's already done. And so, we as the church should pray that ahead of the pastors, ahead of the elders, and ahead of the evangelists, that the Word of God would speed ahead and advance. This is what we should ask for, because if this doesn't happen, then none of the rest of it matters, right? My deficiencies are a problem, but they are much more a problem when that God is not going ahead of me. But so, to what end do we pray? What end do we hope that the Word would accomplish for us? What is the result that we would expect from the victory of the Word? We know in the battle, when we send out the chariots, their victory is that the enemy army is dismayed, or the front lines are dismayed. There's a mental devastation that comes with sending in cavalry or sending in chariots that will have fear put in the hearts of the men on the front lines, and oftentimes it will break down the front lines. And so when we send out the Word first, if the Word is our front line, if it's our charge, then the advancement that we want to see is that the Word would be feared, that it would go ahead, that it would dismay, it would convict. The word that's actually used here, honored, so Paul said that the Word would go ahead and that it would be honored. The word is from doxazo, and the full word is doxazetai. And doxazo, you can think doxology. We sing the doxology. It has to do with glorifying and praising God. And doxazo means I glorify or I praise. And so this is the word that's used here by Paul. He wants them to pray that the word would advance, that it would go forward, and that it would be honored. That it would be, and I don't think it's a stretch to say that it would be feared. So like the chariot goes forward and it strikes fear into the hearts of men. There's a very different fear we're talking about here. But when the word goes forward, the hope is that it would put fear in the hearts of men, that they would glorify it, that they would praise the word that they hear of the gospel. Essentially, the prayer is that the word would speed ahead and that it would take effect, that it would take root, that it would affect the hearts that hear it. Because we know that when the word is honored and revered, then it's been truly received. This kind of reception of the word is evidence of conviction that leads to eventually to fruit bearing. As Paul goes on to say, it is in the same way that the Thessalonians themselves received the word. He says concerning them in his first epistle, he says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. And then this is the important part, verse 5. It's all important, but this is what's relevant to us. Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. This is the end that we are to pray for, that the gospel would take root, that it would go ahead, it would work conviction, and it would work in power, that it would speed ahead of our ministry, that it would do so in a way that people would listen and honor it. Any part of our ministry as elders is fruitless without this work, whether it be we take something like counseling. Right? If Pastor Mike is going to go in and counsel someone, if the word's not going ahead, the conviction isn't already working there, then he will have no effect. No matter how eloquent he is, right, no matter what he does with his voice, he can't change the heart there. So when someone comes in to be counseled, we pray that the word would go ahead, that it would speed ahead of us. If it's in evangelism, whether here, if someone comes in to hear the gospel, or when we go out throughout our weeks, we pray that the word would go ahead of us, that it would go ahead of us in Kamloops, that it would already be convicting, that it would already be working. We pray that the word would go ahead when we're even working on things that are a little bit more tedious but important. We're working currently, and we've told the congregation this already, we're working on a statement of faith, and we're trying to figure out, is there a better foundation we can get with our statement of faith? But as we're doing the work there, if the word isn't already going ahead for us and working on us so that we would come up with something that's biblical and faithful, we're going to see problems. But especially if the word isn't already going ahead in the hearts of the congregation, that we can see division, we can see difficulties. And so we pray in all of these areas as we go through our statement of faith, as we go through just making simple, and oftentimes they seem simple, but making decisions together. We pray that the word would go ahead of us. And especially, of course, in our preaching. When the word is preached, when it's preached and taught on the Tuesdays, when it's preached on the Wednesdays and on the Sundays and throughout our conversations, as we share the word, as we seek to shepherd, in all of these places, we need the word to go ahead of us, to already work and to breed conviction and fear of the Lord ahead of us, that our work would already be done. Already, I've found in this short time of ministry that I've been in, where I rely on God, I see victory, and where I rely on my own strength, I see failure. We went through a difficult time a few years ago where we were going through a number of difficult meetings that many of you would have been at. And I remember before those meetings, as I was going through and preparing to lead them, in those very difficult times, I would come here hours in advance praying, singing and praying more and pouring my heart out before the Lord and trusting him, because I had no idea what would happen. And I thought the worst could happen, but I prayed and the Lord would always be working, be working out his purposes. He would be taking care of it, and things would go a little bit better than the worst that I had expected for. And over time, they would go his way. And I think after that, as I started to pray for more meetings that were smaller, or we were dealing with smaller issues, I don't even like saying that, but in my mind, I was thinking, oh, well, we don't have the controversy anymore, we're not going to have difficulties, and so I kind of come 20 minutes before, maybe do a short prayer, and then go into the meeting, and I found difficulties would arise, most of them because of me and because of my own preparation, but difficulties would arise. And I realized that I was doing something over here that over here I wasn't. And though the issue seemed really, really small over here and really, really big over here, here I'm relying on God and here I'm relying on my own strength. And even the smallest, tiniest little issues or difficulties we deal with, if we're dealing with them in our own strength, we are ending up in total failure. Right, where we think we have all of the right things going for us. Just like Israel, right? They have their chariots. They have Egypt on their side. And then that's where things really fail, when they think they have everything down and they don't rely on the Lord. Now, the foot soldiers can only do so much in an army. On their own, foot soldiers struggle to take every inch of ground. There's a battle for it. But with the chariots in the lead, the foot soldiers, they can barely keep up with the advancement of the chariots. As they go forward, they break the enemy line, and sometimes the battle is already won. And I believe we are the foot soldiers for Christ. We are in a war now that we are fighting. But unlike military war, I don't believe that we will even take an inch of ground on our own. In fact, I think it is I almost guaranteed that we will lose ground every time that we're working just on our own. We can't make any ground. We'll be falling behind, and we'll be being pushed back and back and back until we are defeated on our own strength. But with the word of God speeding ahead of us and being honored and taking root and taking effect, we're going to find ourselves, I really truly believe, out of breath, just trying to keep up with what the Lord is doing. And I feel that in the last year or two, in many ways that is happening, that we are barely keeping up with what the Lord is doing and how he's moving ahead of us. We're barely keeping up with it. He is going ahead. His word is speeding ahead, is taking root, it's convicting, and the elders are just trying to catch up with where the Lord is already going. But with that said, I would say don't stop praying this prayer, that the word would go ahead in our congregation and in our city. It is good to pray for our health, for the instruction of the word, pray for the elder's family, pray that the Lord would give him energy, but most of all, pray that the word of God would speed ahead of us. This is the hope of the church, that it is the Lord doing the work and not us. We know if it's on us, then we're going to fail. And so pray that the word of God would speed ahead. And this is a great joy to us, because then we know we don't have to turn to all kinds of methods of madness and pragmatics to accomplish what the Lord has tasked us with, but we turn to him, we pray, we trust in him, and then he does the work, he goes ahead of us, and we just keep up with him as he does his will. And so that would be a request, and I would read it one more time with our congregation in mind. Finally, brothers, pray for us. So pray for your elders of Christ Community Church, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as we know already has happened among you. Let me close in prayer. Father, I pray even now as we would seek to have fellowship with one another and to go out into our homes afterwards, into our weeks, Father, I pray that your word would already be speeding ahead of us. Father, that there would be conversations that are already prepared for us that we can't escape in our workplaces, in our homes, where it just demands the gospel, Father. Would we be ready and willing to go out into this work that you've prepared for us, Father, into the good works that you've prepared beforehand to go and share the gospel, Father? Would you already be working on the hearts within this congregation as well of children? Would you work on the parents, that they'd be ready to go into this week and ready to give answers for the questions that come up from their children, Father, that you would already be working in hearts and convicting. Father, we long to see your gospel advance in this city. We long to see your gospel advance in this country. In so many ways, it has been beaten back over and over and over, and it is failing in every case, and Father, we know it's not because of your doing, Father, but it's because we've turned to the chariots of our times, Father. We've turned to methods. We've turned away from your word. And so, Father, I pray that we would stand firm on it, that you would help us to stand on your word, to trust in it, to do the work, and to go and follow after it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, as I said at the beginning, we are going to spend a little bit more time at the end now than usual, and we're going to sing together as a congregation.